Chapter 8.
Sorsha,
I whispered quietly in my companion's ear as I gave her a gentle shake. Her eyes fluttered open, and she started to say something, but I put a finger over her mouth and pointed toward the front of the store. She heard the voice, and her eyes went wide, though I couldn't tell whether it was fear or embarrassment that garnered that reaction. We both rolled out of bed as quietly as we could and scoured the area for our clothes. Sorsha, at least, had quite a few options to choose from, but I just grabbed everything I'd worn the day before and tossed them on as quickly as possible. Once I was dressed, I crept toward the front of the store until I found a spot where I could crouch down and watch the walkway without being seen.
Paige,
Sorsha whispered in my ear as she joined me.
Vance,
I suggested as we waited for the owner of the voice to appear. The owner did appear, though to judge by the track of his voice, he must have wandered in, around, and out of a lot of different stores along the way. My legs had started to cramp, and I started to curse the unknown mage before he finally appeared outside the bed store.
"I like big butts, and I cannot lie,"
the mage chanted as he staggered into view. He was on the short side with brown hair that looked like it hadn't seen a comb in some time, stubble that was only partially shaved, and a mage's red robe that was nearly black from the dirt and stains.
"I like big butts, and I cannot lie,"
the mage repeated as he looked out over the second floor railing. He stopped for a moment and scratched his head as if he couldn't remember what came next.
"Do you think that's an actual song?"
Sorsha whispered in disbelief. The mage whipped around and then looked at the surrounding stores.
"I know someone's there,"
he called out.
"If that's you, Smith, I'm going to the town today so you can just tell your old man to suck it."
Sorsha and I remained out of sight. Though we exchanged confused looks, I had a sneaking suspicion this was Vance, and I was feeling a lot less confident about his abilities to get us out of the wasteland. He looked drunk, and I doubted he could even guide us out of the mall on foot, much less open a magical gateway to Motown.
"Show yourself or I'll fry you!"
the maid shouted when no one appeared. I cocked an eyebrow at Sorsha, and she just shook her head.
"Portal mage,"
she said quietly.
"I'm not sensing any fire skills and only a trace of wind skills."
"This must be Vance. Maybe he's better than he looks." I stood up slowly and walked toward the front of the store. Vance whirled in my direction, which almost sent him over the railing.
"Who the hell are you?"
he demanded when he was steady once again. "A friend of Danny Greentree," I replied as I came to a halt just inside the door. "She sent me here to find a portal mage named Vance. She said you could get us out of the wasteland." The mage opened and closed his mouth a few times, like he couldn't decide which issue to address first.
"I'm Vance," he finally declared, which was followed by a belch. "How do you know Danny Greentree?"
"She helped us out with a wolf encounter," I hedged.
"Ah. Found a form of shapeshifters, huh? Well, that's the magisterium for you. If there's a problem, you either kill it or banish it."
"Uh-huh," I agreed.
"But you're not a mutant," he said as he peered at me. "Or a shapeshifter. I think you're a mage, but you're not in a red robe."
I hemmed.
"And I smell sex," he added as he sniffed the air. "So there's another one around here somewhere."
I mumbled as I tried not to blush.
"So why are two mages having sex in my place?"
he demanded. "We're heading to Motown," I finally stated.
"Motown? Why would you want to go to that boring place?"
"We're looking for someone," I explained.
"Well, you found someone,"
he declared as he held his arms out wide. "We're looking for someone named Charles Darwin," I amended.
"That old coot? If you really know Charles Darwin, then you know he hasn't been talking to anyone lately. You might as well save your breath and go somewhere more exciting, like,
Look, is there a way to get out of the wasteland that's close to Motown?" I asked. Vance sniffed and scratched his chest, all while he peered into the depths of the Casper store.
"Is she pretty?"
he finally asked.
"Is who pretty?" I demanded in frustration.
"The woman you slept with,"
Vance explained with a huff.
"Is that why you're here? Did you fall for a mutant that got banished here? You know, even if I were to take the two of you out of this particular wasteland, someone else will probably just turn her in again in some other town. As wastelands go, this one isn't all that bad. And if you met Danny Greentree, then you know there's a place where you could stay.
Except they don't like mages, and neither of us is a mutant, I said in an exasperated voice. So if you can't help us, we'll just keep heading west and see if we can find another gate.
Gates are all sealed on this side of the wall. Portal's the only way out.
I find that hard to believe, I mumbled.
It is,
Vance insisted. Fine, I agreed, mostly in the hopes that he would move on. I was even less convinced now that he could create the portal, and I'd wished I'd asked Danny to teach us a few words to keep the shapeshifter wolves at bay.
I can send you to Motown. I gotta go there myself to pick up a few things.
Uh-huh, I acknowledged.
If you'll let me see this pretty non-mutant friend of yours, I'll happily send you on your way, he added.
I'm not sure I trust you to create a portal, I accused. Vance looked aggrieved, and for a moment he looked like he would stomp off. I was happy to let him go, but then his expression changed to one of awe, and I wasn't at all surprised when Sorsha stepped up next to me. For her part, the blonde woman looked like she was trying very hard not to laugh.
I'm Sorsha,
my companion said in a pleasant voice. Vance stared at her in disbelief for several heartbeats before he shook himself and turned his gaze back to me. He had a more critical look on his face, and I was reminded of one of my old teachers who used to have the same expression on her face just before she told you everything you had done wrong.
Definitely not a mutant, Vance finally mumbled.
Neither are you, nor are you a shapeshifter. So how did you end up here?
Do you want the long story or the short story?
Short,
Sorsha and I replied at the same time.
I like to drink, Vance said with a shrug.
Sorsha and I waited for more information, but the only sound for several moments was the twitter of the wrens. I would have been perfectly happy with that explanation, but Sorsha sighed, and she spoke before I could nudge her.
And the long story?
I was a portal mage for the Magisterium, Vance declared as he opened his arms wide so we could take in the red robe he wore. I used to send some of the top officials all over the world. It was amazing.
But you like to drink,
Sorsha added when Vance fell silent again.
I like to drink. And one night I went to a local bar and drank quite a bit of the local brew, even though I'd been warned that we could leave at a moment's notice that very night. Well, they said that on almost every trip we took, and most of the time we would stay on for days or even weeks.
But they wanted to leave that night.
That they did. One of the local mages tracked me down and tried to sober me up. I could stand up in front of our fearless leader without keeling over, but I wasn't really sober. I really don't know how anyone in that room thought I was ready to open a portal, but I did. And they all started to step through together, caught up in some idiotic discussion about usage taxes. I couldn't hold it open, though, and the whole thing collapsed while they were still in transit.
Oh.
Yep. I stay here because I'm wanted for murder out there.
I started to say, and then trailed off when I couldn't think of a good way to finish the sentence. Atrocious leapt to mind, as did horrifying.
Did you kill a mage as well?
Vance asked as he peered at us.
Is that why you're here?
We did kill a mage.
Huh.
Vance harrumphed as he scratched himself again.
And you think Charles Darwin will help you?
We were told he would, I assured him.
He's got all sorts of music from the old days, and sometimes he would let me listen to it if he'd found a power source for his stereo, but he hadn't been the most welcoming fellow as of late.
Is he the one that taught you the song about big butts?
I like big butts and I cannot lie,
Vance belted out gleefully. So can you really open a portal to Motown? I asked as I tried to ignore the leer on the man's face. His story about killing a group of mages didn't exactly inspire confidence in his magic or his control, and I wondered why the local mutant population was so ready to rely on him. But then, he was the only portal mage inside the wall, so it wasn't like that they had any other choices.
Certainly I can. As I said, I used to be able to send people just about anywhere, Motown is well within my range.
If you can send people anywhere,
Sorsha mused.
I don't do long trips anymore,
Vance said as he held up a hand.
Too much work. I only do local portals these days.
But if you could send us to the West Coast, we could make it worth your while.
No. No long trips.
But the West Coast is short compared to some of the trips you've made,
Sorsha continued, despite the nudge to the arm that I gave her.
True that. You wouldn't believe some of the places I've seen.
Anywhere close to the coast would be helpful,
Sorsha added as she gave the portal mage another sunny smile. He considered her offer for a moment, then shook his head sadly.
No, he replied mournfully. For you, my flower, I would love to open a portal to wherever your heart desired, but the simple fact is, I can't.
Do you mean can't or won't? I asked.
Can't. Turns out too much drink is bad for your magic skills. I haven't opened a portal past Motown in years. Trust me, if I could have, I would have taken my own lazy butt to the West Coast years ago. I hear the wineries there are lovely.
Oh, dear.
I still think we can find another way out, I murmured as I turned to Sorsha. I'm not sure I trust him to get us to Motown even.
You're welcome to try,
Vance snickered before Sorsha could say anything.
But you'd be the first to succeed, and this place has been here for a very long time.
It's a short trip, and it sounds like Vance makes it regularly, so I'm sure we'll be safe.
I do, and I'll even go with you so as you can feel confident that I won't close it too soon.
That's not as reassuring as you might think.
It's either Vance or the wolves, or more angry mutants,
Sorsha pointed out.
Oh, you don't want to hang around here if you made the mutants angry, Vance added. They'll hunt you down for sure.
I thought they hated mages, I said as I gave Vance the stink eye. So how come they haven't killed you?
I can bring them food and supplies from beyond the wall,
Vance declared with a flourish.
I think we should go with Vance. We really need to put some distance between us and the mages, and I'd rather not spend any more time in the wastelands than we have to.
Fine, I huffed, though I realized she was probably right. As scary as it was to entrust our lives to a mage who had just admitted to killing people by closing a portal too quickly, it was better than waging a protracted war with mutants and shadow creatures and whatever other oddities existed in this place. And if we somehow managed to hold off all those creatures and reach the far side of the wastelands, there was still the problem of getting out. Vance was our best option, even if he did smell like a brewery.
Just let me get to my special spot and we can be on our way, Vance said with a little bow.
We'll just grab our stuff, I said quickly as I pulled Sorsha back into the store.
You'll wait here for us,
Sorsha called to the portal mage over her shoulder.
So we don't have to search for you in this maze?
Oh, it's not that hard to navigate, Vance assured her.
Still, I'd feel better with you in the lead.
I'll be right here,
Vance declared as he spread his feet wide. Sorsha and I walked quickly to the back of the store and started to gather up our supplies. Fortunately, we hadn't bothered to unpack the satchels the night before, so we grabbed up our jackets and satchels and Sorsha made a few final decisions about the extra clothes. She crammed everything she wanted to keep into one of the bags, along with the straw hat, then gave me a nod.
I'm not sure I trust this guy, so I'm going to take a precaution of my own.
I pictured the snub nose in my hand and felt the near instantaneous response. I smiled as I felt the dimpled grip in my palm and remembered the kick that came with it. I tucked the gun into my jacket pocket and glanced toward the blonde mage.
I think he can get us to Motown,
Sorsha replied as she watched me conceal the snubnose.
Though I'm not crazy about him going with us. He seems like the type that would head to the local pub and start talking.
Maybe we can convince him to show us where Charles Darwin lives. We could keep him there until we leave.
Well, I don't think that will be hard, if I smile enough.
That, or you'll give him a heart attack, I teased as we started back toward the walkway. Vance was still outside the store, though he had given up on the song and was whistling instead. He smiled as we reappeared, and for the first time since I'd spotted him, he seemed genuinely happy. He led us to a set of the strange stairs that dotted the mall. They were ribbed rather than flat and wider than normal stairs. Near the bottom, one of the steps was less than an inch high, but it would be easy to trip over if you weren't paying attention.
Who builds stairs like this?
I griped as I stared at the offending quarter-inch step.
It's actually an escalator, Vance remarked.
A what?
Sorsha asked as she watched me step over the last step and land heavily on the ground.
An escalator, Vance said carefully. They moved. People just stood on them and they were carried up and down.
Geez, I remarked. Maybe not everything that tour guide said about earlier generations being lazy wasn't an exaggeration.
I think it's rather ingenious, Vance stated. There have been plenty of days when I wished I could get them moving again. I even tried to convince Darwin to let me borrow one of his power sources once to see if I could do it, but he said he didn't have enough juice.
What kind of juice? I asked.
Whatever he was using that day, I guess,
Vance replied with a shrug. We'd arrived outside a store named Macy's that Sorsha and I had passed the night before. We'd peeked inside the doors, but hadn't done much more when we'd spotted another endless parade of racks filled with women's clothing. Vance, however, turned his back on the store and turned to face the giant glass sphere that sat atop a black cube just outside the store. Sorsha had concluded that it was some sort of sculpture, though neither of us could decide what it was supposed to be.
I find that the sphere helped me focus, Vance explained when he caught our stares. I like to imagine it back in the day when it was a fountain.
It was a fountain? I asked in a puzzled tone.
It was indeed. I tried to convince Darwin to get it working again, but alas, he was even more reluctant to deal with this than he was with the escalators.
Vance closed his eyes and then went completely still. I looked at Sorsha, who shrugged and turned her gaze back on the portal mage. After a moment, he started the weaving hand motions that I now recognized as the means for creating a portal. A flickering ring appeared, though not as bright as the others I had seen recently. A few images started to appear, including the high school that the mutants now occupied, and a street that had to be in the city. Sorsha frowned as if she wasn't so certain that Vance could deliver on his claim, and I started to suggest that we sneak away and pedal to the other wall instead. There had to be some way to climb over it or go around it, and maybe we could get lucky and survive the other perils of the wasteland. Before I could say much more than her name, a loud bang filled the atrium, and shards of glass splintered from the sphere. I knew the sound immediately, as did Sorsha, and we ducked beneath a nearby escalator. I scanned the area as I drew the snub nose from my pocket and tried to find the source of the bullet.
You're not the only one who can find a gun!
Peter's voice called out from the upper walkway.
What the hell?
Vance demanded as he looked at the damaged sphere. Either the word gun hadn't registered in his brain yet, or he didn't understand how they worked.
Vance, get down!
I yelled at him. The portal was still there, though it had dimmed even more as Vance scowled at the fountain. Another crack sounded, and this time the sphere started to disintegrate. Vance howled, and over that I could hear Peter's laughter.
You little bastard!
Vance yelled toward the upper level. I darted from our hiding spot and grabbed Vance by his arm. I started to pull him back toward the escalator while he hurled epithets at our unseen attacker. There was another snap, but this time the bullet pinged off the edge of the escalator. The brat was getting better with his aim, and I still wasn't sure where he was firing from.
Vance, are you okay?
Sorsha asked as we huddled next to her. I glanced at the portal mage and realized he was bleeding. There was a wet spot spreading across his chest, and Vance dabbed at it with his fingers.
Glass from the fountain, Vance said mournfully. Well, I'm not sure if that's appropriate or ironic. I'll kill you all!
Peter yelled out.
We need to get through the portal, and I'm not sure how much longer I can hold it open.
How long before you could open another one? I asked.
Well, if the mutants don't kill us... Not sure. I think this flesh wound may be worse than I thought.
If you can focus on Motown, we'll get you through the portal. We can take care of you there.
Could it be redemption at last?
Another shot rang out, and a puff of dust leapt into the air near us as the bullet dug into the tile floor. All three of us jumped, even though we were crouched below the lowest point of the moving steps, and I nearly banged my head against the concrete above me.
Come out, wherever you are!
Peter taunted.
Right,
Vance snorted. The portal mage steadied himself on his heels, then peered around the edge of the escalator to focus on the fading ring. It steadied, then slowly brightened, and the image began to flicker past more quickly. At last, the image froze, and we could see a good-sized town just on the other side. Vance grinned and pumped his fist in the air.
Motown, he declared. Don't let them get through!
I heard Peter yell, and I knew then that he had brought more friends along. That was confirmed when a mutant with long orange hair and gangly limbs vaulted over the edge of the escalator and landed a few feet away from us. I didn't have time to notice any other details as I pointed the snub nose and pulled the trigger before the hairy orange mutant could move closer. The snub nose boomed in the confined space, even louder than the weapon Peter had. The blue-orange flame seemed to fill the space between me and the mutant, and then the flame vanished, the smoke wafted away, and the mutant crumpled to the tile floor. Half his neck was gone, along with most of his jaw. The orange hair turned red as blood spilled down and puddled on the floor, though his eyes still flickered in their sockets.
Run!
I yelled at Sorsha and Vance. Sorsha sprinted toward the portal, and I followed close behind with Vance locked in my grip. He stumbled along for a moment, then shook himself free. Another shot rang out, but I'd spotted the telltale spark this time. I pointed the snub nose in the direction of the other gun and pulled the trigger. The awesome kick of the weapon bucked against me, but I managed to keep it pointed toward the target even as Vance yelped in pain. The snub nose belched fire one more time, and then the bullet was on its way. I grabbed Vance again and started to drag him toward the portal. Sorsha was on the edge, ready to leap through, but as I reached her, three more mutants dropped from the upper level. I pointed the small revolver at the nearest mutant, but Vance suddenly wriggled free. He shoved Sorsha and me through the portal, and we suddenly found ourselves standing near a small corral. The air smelled of hay and horses, and a whinny drifted from the open door of a barn. I turned around, ready to reach through and grab Vance. He was still in the mall, and the three mutants had him surrounded. He smiled, then the portal started to collapse.
Vance!
I called out. But it wasn't Vance who responded. Two of the mutants managed to leap through the portal before it vanished, and they dropped to the ground at my feet. They seemed stunned by their sudden arrival in the middle of this very ordinary scene. But then they saw me and Sorsha. With a hiss, a man with an owl's face and a pair of wings threw himself into the air, while a woman with scales and bulbous eyes threw herself at Sorsha. Well, so much for a quiet arrival.